The political firestorm over depleted uranium weapons shows little sign of abating. The use of military ammunition employing depleted uranium has prompted growing concern among nations who fear for the safety of their peacekeepers and soldiers serving in the Balkans and Persian Gulf. This week, Great Britain announced it would sponsor a voluntary screening program for its soldiers who've served in the Balkans. But there's also concern about possible health hazards for those who live in areas in which depleted uranium weapons may have been used. The United Nations Environmental Program is conducting tests in areas of Kosovo and Bosnia. And NPR Science correspondent David Kestenbaum joins us. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
And what makes depleted uranium particularly effective in a weapon?
Uranium is the one of the densest metals known to man. So when you shoot uranium at something, that something usually loses, like a tank, although now they're making tank armor out of uranium. So it's more of an even battle. But depleted uranium is slightly less radioactive than the uranium that comes out of the earth. And typically, the military will take something that's sort of pencil-sized stick of uranium and put it inside a shell, and they use it as a penetrator to shoot at tanks.
I guess I've seen these weapons in action, or at least being stored, and I mean, I'm aware of the fact that soldiers are supposed to handle them differently.
Yeah, and particularly if a tank has been hit with it and there's possibly uranium dust around, people are supposed to stay away from it. But, you know, depleted uranium, it's the half-life is something like 4.5 billion years, which means that it takes 4.5 billion years for half of it to decay, and the decay is what produces the radiation. So if you want to compare that to plutonium, it's sort of hundreds of thousands of times less radioactive. If you hold plutonium in your hand, it actually feels warm because of the radiation. But if you hold uranium, it just feels very, very heavy.
Italy's convinced that there have been several deaths due to leukemia among its soldiers, and they think that uranium may have been responsible. How do you assess that proof?
Well, I've talked to a number of health physicists who are the category of physicists who study these things, and they say it's really, really hard to imagine being able to get enough depleted uranium in your system to give you leukemia. The easiest way to imagine it happening would be if you were in a tank that got hit, and the uranium, when it hits, it sort of gets vaporized. So you'd have to inhale an enormous amount of that dust. Mm-hmm. If you were to sit there and inhale, by some calculations, as much as you possibly could, your risk might go up by 1 in a million of contracting leukemia. It's also not clear that the leukemia cases in Europe aren't due to something else. I mean, there's a natural rate of leukemia, which is something like 2 to 3 per 100,000. That's for adults in the U.S. of a certain age group. So it's going to be very hard to tell if they have 6 cases and they expected 3, whether that's just chance or whether that's something else. And then there'll be no way to tell if that something else is really uranium due to radiation somehow, because, you know, cancer is cancer. It's just a tissue that grows out of control, and it's hard to tell what caused it.
What about civilians who've been living in areas in which depleted uranium-tipped weapons have been used? Is it possible that they got so close, or the fighting got so close to them, that they could have inhaled vaporous dust that's now damaging?
Again, it's really hard to find anyone who's worried about the radiation from the uranium, but there is, you know, it is a toxic metal. It's a heavy metal like lead. And, you know, we took lead out of gasoline for a very good reason. So a lot of people feel like the tanks should be buried so that you don't get kids running around inside the tanks or people picking up souvenirs and wearing them as necklaces. But the major effect, one of the things you might expect from if you were to somehow inhale a lot of uranium would be kidney damage. And again, that's just because it's a metal, not because it's radioactive.
There were tons of uranium-tipped weapons which were used in the Balkans. Weapons blow things up. But in addition to that damage, is there any evidence that it caused environmental damage?
Again, the concern is mostly because it's a heavy metal. And like lead, you don't want to keep that around, which is why people would like to see it buried. But realize also that 10 tons of uranium, because uranium is so dense, 10 tons is just a block a few feet on a side. Mm-hmm. And in the Gulf War, 10 times more uranium, depleted uranium weapons were deployed by mass. So that's another reason a lot of people are really skeptical, is that this has been looked into extensively following the Gulf War as one of the possible causes of Gulf War syndrome. And in fact, it was one of the first things to essentially be dismissed. The Royal Society, which is Britain's version of the National Academy of Sciences, is going to be looking into this. And the people I've talked to there say that a lot of the stuff they're going to be looking at are the old studies done in the United States. So they may reach the same conclusion, but maybe from a public relations perspective, it pays to answer a question you think you may already know the answer to.
Thanks very much, NPR's David Kestenbaum.